Daf is Daf Chav Bey. Just two shout outs. I was in two different simchas yesterday. I met two different people listening to the Daf Yomi, apparently. I met the individual Marty Schlachman from Englewood. I met him at Simcha last night. And I met an individual Elliot Strauss, also from a different simcha, people who listen online. So it's always nice to meet people who listen. So let's begin today's Daf. So today's Daf is Maseches Yuma Daf Chav Bey. So the Mishnah, the Perek begins, where we shown initially, Kol Misha Rota Litro Mesem Isbach. Anybody who wants to do the Trumas Hadeshim, Torah, he's allowed to. It's all yours. There's no one's really interested in doing the Trumas Hadeshim. That was initially how it was. Ubizman Shein Merubim, however, when more people wanted to participate in the Trumas Hadeshim, so then they decided to have a race. Ratzin V'olin B'kevish, they had a race called Kodem Es Chaver B'ar B'amos Zach, whoever came within the first or the last Daud Amos of the finish line, which we'll see where the finish line is, he would be Zochet to the Trumas Hadeshim. Now, the question the Tosfos Shem asks, how is it allowed? How are you allowed to run up the ramp? The base in the pasuk, it says you can't, there are no steps, and the reason why there are no steps is because you're supposed to walk your heel in front of your toe, not to take big steps, certainly not to run. So how was this allowed? How are they able to race? So Tosfos Shem gives two different answers. Answer one is that it's only usher to take large steps while doing the avoda. This is prior to the avoda, and therefore one would be allowed to. Secondly, he says, no, they actually raced with one foot in front of the other heel. They're like really fast walkers. That's how the race was. Either way, this was the race. The Mishnah says, "Im hayu shneim shavrin." If they both had a tie, so then they'd have to have a lottery. Hamamuna Omer Lehemi would tell them. Now the Rashi says, not only the two tied. If they both tied, then all the quantum get to be back in the lottery at this point. So they have to now. What happens is he tells everyone all the quantum. The Mamuna tells them, "Hitzbiu, stick out a finger." Umahin motzin achos hashan. They could pick one or two fingers, or the first or second finger they could pick out. Ve'ein motzina gudal, you cannot stick out your thumb. The reason why, imagine a lot of kohanim are squished together, and then the guy, the kohen, he sees that the number's going to land just missing him by one. He could stick out a thumb. It might appear like a separate kohen. He might count them separately. He might get it. So the two fingers, your three fingers, you could see is from the same person. But the thumb mixed together, a lot of hands, a lot of fingers, it might confuse the mamuna, so you're not allowed to pick out a thumb. If you put out a thumb, you are disqualified. And the Maisa Shayushneim, there's once a Maisa. The two people were shoving, they had a tie. The Rotzin, the Olin, Mekevish, they ran up on top, to the top of the ramp. The Dachaf, Echad, Mehemes, Chaver, one guy pushed off his friend. The Nafel, he fell. The Nishbar, Raglo, he broke his leg. The Chavin, Shiro, Bezdin, Shibo, Lide, Sakana. Bezdin realized this was becoming dangerous. His Kinu, Shilohu, Tormim, Esimizbech, El Bethias. He said, there's no longer a race. We have to make this as part of the lottery. Arba, Payasos, Hayusham. There were a total of four Payasos, four lotteries throughout the Beis HaMikdash every single day. V'zeh ha'payis ha'rishon. This was the first lottery. The Mishnah and Maseches Tamid talks about how they prepare themselves. The first thing in the morning, they go ahead, they stand in a circle, and they do the first pious. Whoever zocha, he runs and does the Trumas Hadeshim. Then they do the second pious. Who is zocha to do the Shechita, the Zrika, and so on. So if you just take a look at the Rashi and Tibor Maschah Hitzbiu explains a little bit more than what I explained him. Hotziu etzbo sechem. They'd stick out their fingers. The kohanim standing in a circle. Chol echad yira etzbo. He'd show his finger. K'nei mefarish l'kamam epirkin. We'll see the Gemara itself explains this. Makifin v'omdin ba'gula. He'd stand in a circle. Baha mamuna. The mamuna who was the one in charge of the payasos. V'notel mitznefes mi'al rosh shel echam hemi. Take off the hat from one of the kohanim randomly. He'd just take off this guy's hat. U'mimenu pious maschil limnos. It's going to be starting from this person. That's count number one is from him. Umotzi kol echad v'yachad et b'lemina, they'd all stick out a finger. Huvamamuna omer kol sheminin kala bohua zochi. He mentions a random number, and whoever number that lands on, he counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Whoever it lands on, he is the zocha to the Trumas Hadeshim. Umotzi piv minin, he throws out a random number. Omea, oshishim, 100 or 60 as examples. Harbe yosem yishoho sham kohanim, much more than the kohanim that were standing there. We don't want him to figure out who's going to get it. So let's say the 20 kohanim there, he mentioned 60, 80, 100, 120. There's no way he could figure out who's the kohanim that's going to get it to avoid any type of a harama. Umaschil limnos mizeh shenata merosha mitznefet. He begins counting, number one, from the kohen whose hat he took off. V'sovev v'holech, he'd go around in a circle counting each person's finger. Umone v'chozer chalit, he'd go around another time and another time until ad tofa minyan, until the final count. Umisha minyan kalaba, whoever's finger the number falls out on, hu azocha izocha, v'chein kol payasos. This was the process for all of the payasos. So now just look at the next, the Rashi two more down. Vein motzina gudel b'mikdash, says Rashi. The Gemara mefarsh mipnei haramim, those who played tricks. Kishikarv haminir lechalas v'yabit lemish yichala yotzi zeh haomer lefanav shtei atzbaos kadeshiyimno b'shnei bnei adam. He sticks out his thumb, so he's going to be counted twice. So that's part of the trickery. So no thumbs can be stuck out during this count. So now the Gemara says, v'homei kara my time alo takinu le'rabanan payasa. How come initially there's no pious made for the Chumas Hadeshin? Why initially they said whoever first come, first serve? So Meikara Savar came in Davodis Lailahi, Lo Chashivalu, Lo Asim, because Chumas Hadeshin was done before sunrise. It was Davodis Laila. The Avod in the Beis Hamikdash has to take place during the daytime. Anything that takes place by Laila is not really that important, and no one really cared to wake up early to do Chumas Hadeshin. So since no one's interested, they said whoever's willing to be wake up, he gets it. So therefore, Lo Asim, and came in the Chazud de Kasa, but then they saw the Kwanim were actually quite interested in participating in the Chumas Hadeshin. So then Kasu v'asu lide sakana, and it led to a danger. Takinu le payasa. Then they established, let's do a pious, this way everybody stays safe. Varei evarim upedarim lavodes lailahu v'takinu le rabbanim pious. So we see, we're going to see later on, that when it came to dividing up who gets to be makta, who gets to burn the fats and the limbs all night long, which is avodes laila, they required a pious. So why would Chumas Hadeshin, which is also Avodas Laila, doesn't require or did not require pious initially? What were the difference between Avodas Laila of Evarim Pedarim, where they were interested in, and Avodas Laila of Chumas Hadeshin, whereby they were not interested in? So the Gemara says, Sof Avoda Diyamamahi. The Haktaris Evarim Pedarim, granted, it took place by Laila, but it was still considered conceptually the end of the day. It was considered the Sof Avodas Yom. It's part of Avodas Yom that they wanted to participate. As opposed to this, this was not Avodas Yom, it wasn't Sof Avodas Yom, this was still nighttime, it wasn't therefore Chashiv. So Gemara says, what do you mean? The Chumas Hadeshin, Hai Nami, Tchilas Avoda Diyamamahi. This was the beginning, this was the first Avoda of the daytime Avoda. This is considered of a Chashiv Avoda, it's the Tchilas Avodas Yomamahu. Damar Reb Yochanan, Kidash Yadav the Chumas Hadeshin. If a person washes his hands to perform Chumas Hadeshin prior to sunrise, and then sunrise happens, Lamacha, the next day, which is sunrise, Ein Tzarech LeKadosh, he does not need to rewash his hands after sunrise, Shekvar Kiddush Mitchilas Avoda. He already started washing his hands from the beginning of the Avoda. Clearly from the statement, Chumas Hadeshin is considered Tchilas Avodas Yomamahi. We don't care about this mind if it's nighttime or daytime. This is the beginning of the daytime Avodas. So why were the Kohanim not interested in this? So Gemara is going to give two different answers. Ema Shekvar Kiddush Mitchila Lavoda. It's not saying that Chumas Hadeshin is called an Avoda. What it's saying is they already wash his hands to prepare for the Avoda that's going to come. Not that Chumas Hadeshin itself is the Avoda, but his hands were already washed this morning. But Ein Echanami, Chumas Hadeshin is not considered Tchilas Avoda. It's considered a Hechsher Mitzvah. It's considered a cleaning up of the garbage. Nothing to do with the rest of the daytime. So there's a big machlokus we showed him based on how to read these Gemaras here. Do we call, there's two questions here. Number one is Chumas Hadeshin called Avodas Laila or Avodas Yom? Pashas is it's called Avodas Laila here. The Rambam calls it Avodas Yom. It's a daytime Avoda, meaning we don't care about this man. The second question is, do we view this simply as a Hechsher of the Avoda, an independent type of thing, or no, it's really a Hechsher that leads into, it's the Tchilas Avodas Laila. So depending how you read the Gemara here, that comes out the very, very important difference of how to view the Chumas Hadeshin. So that's the first shot. That in Echanami, that the Chumas Hadeshin is not called Avodas Yomi, it's just that the guy washes hands for the Avoda that he's about to do already, he doesn't need to rewash them. But Ikadami, others say, no, Mikara Savar Kevendika Oneshena Loasi. The reason why initially they didn't make a pious for Chumas Hadeshin is because people were sleeping. How many guys are going to wake up at 3:30 in the morning to go do Chumas Hadeshin? So there's no need, there's no big rush. But Kevendika Chazadath, but once Rabbanan saw that the Kohanim were waking up, and many of them were excited and prepared to do the Chumas Hadeshin, the Kasti Nami Lide Sakana, and the whole race led to a very dangerous situation, Takinu Le Rabbanan Pious, and then they decided to establish a pious. Tare Evam Padarim Deika Ones Shena V'Takinu Le Rabbanan. So how come when it came to the nighttime of a burning of the Evam Padarim, is that also Ones of a Shena? They might fall asleep at nighttime. How come there initially they did make a pious? But by the Chumas Hadeshin, they did not initially make a pious. And the Gemara gives, an obvious answer. The Gemara says, the Kinei Rabbanan pious, Shiny Mignei, me make him. It's easier to stay up than it is to wake up. Yeah, nighttime, they're already up all day, So to stay up another hour, two or three, to do a varmit bedarmit is not a big deal. But to wake up early when they're sleeping at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, that's a hard thing. That's why they didn't initially anticipate the Kohen waking up, and there was no pious initially, but afterwards they saw that the Kohen were very zaris in waking up, and they needed to institute a pious. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. The takanta lahach yisahavi? Was the takana motivated because of the sakana? Was that really it? Takanta lahach yisahavi? They made a different takana. Meaning, there were two different takanas that were made here. They said, number one is, they made a takana of this, the first one's going to be there. But then they said another reason why, another motivation was, we're going to see the time, the Raisa says, Misha zacha b'chum sadeshen. Whoever is zocha in the chum sadeshen, b'sidir maracha, he's yiska b'sidir maracha, b'shnei gizrei etim. Not only will he do the chum sadeshen of simply scooping up the ashes, but he's also going to be zocha to do the ordering and the organizing of the wood on top of the mizbeach. You're going to get to do a couple other things as well. So they try to motivate people to be involved in that way. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains it three wide lines down. V'takanta l'hai gisahave? Kushi, this is a question. V'chem yipnei takala, she'ira niskan le'pais? Is because someone fell and got hurt, that's why they were masaking the pious? No, the reason, other reason why is because hai l'hai gisahave. B'shul si de maracha, b'shei gizrei etim. When they lumped together, not only the Chumash Hadeshim, but they also said you can organize the maracha, you can put the two big logs of wood on. She'atorim hu hamesader, he also organized the mizbeach. Not only was it just scooping up the ashes, but there's other more significant avodas, so then, make kara bo pious. Meaning there are two reasons why they required a pious. Number one is to avoid the guy being pushed off. Number two is because people were zocha not only to the Chumash Hadeshen, but to other avodas as well. So what was the real takana? What was the real reason why they had to make a takana? So answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, shtei takanos havu. There are really two takanas. Make kara initially, Savar lo asu. They initially thought nobody's going to come because it's early morning, it's scooping up the ashes. Who wants to do that? So came in the chazad kasu, v'asu nami l'di sakana. So once they realized that it led to a sakana, people were coming. So takinu le pious, they said there's a pious. But came in the takinu le pious, now they said, wait a second, the pious here, lo asu. Wait a second, I got to wake up in the morning and there's only 1 in 50 chances I'm going to get this true tradition. They said, forget about it, I'm not waking up anymore. So then they had to add another takana. So they said, again, Tatina le pious, lo asu, they stopped coming. Amri, mi yemar de misrami lon, who said I'm going to get the lottery? Is it worth me waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning? I may not even get it, forget it, but I'm still even sleeping in later. So how the Tatina le, they had to add more reason to wake up early. They said, not only we get the chum sadeshin if you win the lottery, but also, mi shezacha b'chum sadeshin, yiska b'sid hamaracha, you could put together the wood on top of the mizbeach, you put the two large logs on, in order that people would wake up early in the morning and to be part of the pious. Now, Tosus, the long Tosus here on the side here, has two teyas. Were these really two takanas, or at two different times, or they made two takanas at one time? So he has two different opinions here. One is, he says, no, this really happened one mechad zmana. They made two different motivations. They said, there's going to be a pious, but also, you're not only going to get chum sadeshin, but you also get the yisidim aracha, and so on. That was all one zman, one takana. But then he says, no, maybe this was two different stages, which is the simple reading of the Gemara. So Gemara now says last five lines of the Amud here. Once many people started to wake up early to do the Chumash Hadeshen, they had this race, the Institute of the Race. So Amar Rapapa says, Pshitali, it's very simple and obvious to me, that Arba Amos Da'ara, lo. If they came to the, where exactly was the finish line? They said, if you come within Da'al Amos, the finish line, you're Zocha to the Chumash Hadeshen. So it's obvious to me, it cannot be the four Amos before the rim. It can't be on the ground level. That can't be it. Because it says Ratzon Ve'ol Mekevesh. It says running up the ramp. So the ramp was certainly part of the race. It wasn't the bottom. It wasn't the bottom of the floor. Kamai Sanamilo. It can't be the first Dalat Amos of the ramp, or the bottom Dalat Amos, because Ratzon Ve'ol Mekevesh time. It sounds like they ran up the ramp. V'hadar, then only after going up the ramp does it say, Kol HaKodem Eschavero. That whoever wins, whoever beats his friend. So it sounds like after the beginning, climbing the ramp is where the finish line is. So then it's not the first four Amos either. The Beni Namilo can't be the middle Dal Amos of the ramp because Dilo Masaima Milsa. There's no like finish line. There's no like line. There's no end point. At what point of the ramp is there going to be the finish line? So it must be Pshituli, the Gabi Mizbeach tonight. It must be the top of the ramp. The top of the ramp where it meets the Mizbeach, that's the finish line. And if you come within four Amos of that finish line, you're Zocha to the Chumash Hadeshen and the Sidim Aracha and the Shnei Gizrei Etim. So now the Gemara wants to know, Bar Yer Papa, now of that last of our four almas on the ramp, which part of the Dal Amos is it referring to? What does that mean? So Yer Papa points out that is it referring to Arba Amos Shamru Behadei Ama Yesod Vama Sovev? Is it including the Yesod and the Sovev? If you look there, you might have a picture in your Gemara. I don't know if you do, but the way it worked was that there was this the Yesod that went around the Mizbech, and there's also this the Sovev where the Kohen would walk around as well. So the Mizbech wasn't flat horizontally, rather vertically, it wasn't flat. There were things that protruded from it. And the ramp kind of went over those humps of the Yisod and the Sovev. So are we referring to the Dan Amos of where the Sovev was? Or are we referring to the Dan Amos where Mamas meets the Mizbech? Okay, if you look, I've got a nice picture in mind. It shows you the differences here. So Odilma, the Amud Beis now, or perhaps Bar Me'ama Yisod V'ama Sovev Teku. Or is it Sovev? Or is it a side from that Amma that protrudes? So again, the way, let's say this is a Mizbech, for example. So Mizbech had a Sovev that stuck out here, and the Yisod that stuck out there. So now, even though the ramp touched the top of the Mizbech, it went over the Sovev and the Yisod. So referring to over this part here, where the Yisod comes out, this but the mysterious line here, or it's referring to Mamash where it touches the ramp. The Gemara says, I don't know the answer. Take it. It doesn't know exactly where that finish line is. Again, Pashup Shot, you imagine where it touches the ramp, where it touches the Mizbech. That's a real clear finish line. If it's lower down the ramp, it's hard to know on top of the ramp where exactly you have to look down to see where the Sovev and the Yisod goes. But either way, the Gemara finishes off as a Teku. It doesn't know exactly where the finish line is, but somewhere towards the top of the ramp. So Gemara now says, two lines down, it says, Im hayushnein shavim, hamamuna omer lem hitzbiu. They paid what's called a 21st finger, what we have nowadays. They suck at the fingers, you pick a number, and then whoever's finger lands on, he is zocha to do the Chumash Hadeshim. So asks the Gemara, Tani hotziu etzbosechem leminan, they stick out the fingers to count them. So asks the Gemara, v'nim ninu lididu. Why doesn't he just count the people themselves, the quantum themselves? Why stick out your finger for it? So the Gemara tells us what we already know. Messiah Leli Rabbi Yitzchak, Tamar Rabbi Yitzchak, the support of Yitzchak's statement, who says, Usser Limnos Es Yisrael Afilu Ledvar Mitzvah. You are not allowed to count the people. You cannot count the Jews. Even if it's for Dvar Mitzvah, even if it's for the doing the Avoda, even if it's for a minion, you cannot count them directly. You have to have some medium. You have to count them by Hoshiyas Amecha, count them by the fingers. Dichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayifkadeim Bibazek, that he used the Bazek, which Rashi says are Shivrei Charasim. People have to give in broken shards of pottery, and they count how many were given. That's how they took this survey, but they could not count the individuals themselves. Here as well, counting the fingers would be allowed. This interesting Shiloh of Moshe was asked. Moshe was asked the question, are you allowed to put an address on a tombstone? Is that allowed in a base kfaros in order to locate where they are? So this is address number 10, and number 11, number 12. It makes it much easier finding relatives. Is that allowed? Interesting question. So why would one not be allowed to? It's counting people. But they're dead. So if they're dead people, so there's no problem counting dead people. So the problem is it's loigler rush, because if a person was alive, so you can't count the person who's alive. But I can count the person who's dead. Ah, we're making fun that you can't perform mitzvahs, that we can count you. So is that a problem or not a problem? The Moshe writes, I didn't see this discussed anywhere, but he felt that it actually would be a problem. It's different than an address in a house, because an address in a house doesn't count the person, it counts a family. There could be 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 people in a family, but here only one person is buried in each kever, and therefore it's like counting people. It's like counting people, and it would be Lorg LaRush. He felt it would be incorrect to do so. What he recommended is, what you should have is, you could have address for a little shchuna, for a little section, that this is, section number 1, and there are 10 people buried in this area, but based on this Gemara, he said it wouldn't be allowed. Ah, but counting fingers is allowed, but why not counting tombstones? Why can't they be the same thing? Because he says, because when it comes to the fingers, and other Achorim point this out, you could have 30 Kohanim standing there. But not every Kohen has to put out his finger. Now, why wouldn't, I don't know. Seemingly, he woke up to be part of the lottery, but let's say he didn't want to put out his finger. He didn't want to do this Avoda. So you could still have 20 people standing there, but only 19 fingers. But here, by the base pharaohs, you have no choice. There's a dead person there. You're counting him, and you don't have no choice to opt out of it. And therefore, he felt that if there's a number on every single kever, it would be considered counting them, and that would be loig l'rush. Gemara now says further, Maskiv la Rav Ashi, Mimai dehai bezek lishna de mivzaku. Who said the word bezek refers to a broken shard? Maybe vidilma shema demasu. Maybe it's referring to a name of a city. The chsiv, it says in the pasuk, Vayimsu adone bezek. Maybe the people of the city, they were counting the actual individuals who lived in the city, not that they were counting these broken pottery. Elamihacha, they bring another source that they had to count using some other medium, not the individuals themselves. It says in the Pasuk, Vayishma Shol as Ha'am, Vifkadem Bitlam. Vifkadem is Lashon of Pekudim, to count. He counted them Bitlam. They all contributed a sheep, and he counted the sheep. That was to tell them how many people were there. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Ka Amona is Yisrael over Belab. One who counts the Jews violates a law. Shenemar says in the pasuk, "V'haya mispar bnei Yisrael kichol hayam asher lo yimod." You should not count them. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar over b'shnei lavim. The two lavim, it says in the pasuk, "Shenemar lo yimod lo yisaper." You should not count them. It says in two different ways, and therefore it's two lavim involved in that. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yonasan Rami, he points out the stirim psukim. Ksiv it says, "V'haya mispar bnei Yisrael kichol hayam," that there was a count. Even though it's hard to count, but there's a count, there's a number, there's some finite number of klaisel, like the amount of sand in the sea. Uksiv, ashaloyimod v'loyisapir, that you can't count them. It was a number was infinite. So are they countable or are they not countable? So the Gemara answers, lokasha, kan bizman she'Yisrael osin riton shemakom, kan bizman she'ina osin riton shemakom. When klaisel is doing what they should be doing, so then they're infinite, you can't count them. The amount of Jews is uncountable, whatever that means exactly. And if they're not doing the right thing, that there's a finite number to them. We are defined, and that would be considered countable. The comes along Rebbe Omer, Mishim Abba Yossi ben Dustai, Lokasha. He gives another explanation to reconcile this contradiction. He says, Lokasha kan bidei Adam, kan bidei Shemaim. It's a number that you and I can't count. Human beings cannot count the amount of Jews, but Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, can count them. There is a finite number. The question is whether it's, you know, it's small enough for us to recognize and to count. Kadosh Baruch Hu certainly can, and we cannot. So Gemara then says, on the topics of Shaul, and he was involved in the counting here, so Amar Rabbi Nihilai, Bar Idi Amar Shmuel, Kevin Shinismana Adam Parnes, Ala Tzibor, when a person is appointed to be leader over the Tzibor, Mis Asher, he becomes wealthy. How do we know? Me'ikara Ksiv Vifkidem Bebezek. Initially, he used broken shards to count the people. Ulvasof Ksiv Vifkidem Betlam. He used his own sheep. Shaul apparently had, every person was counted, he was putting aside his own sheep. So first he used like broken shards, which was of course was very little money. But then he said, oh, well, I'll put one sheep aside, another sheep aside, another sheep aside. He must have thousands upon thousands of sheep. He became wealthy after he was appointed king. So the Gemara says, the Duma Mididu. Maybe the sheep he was collecting were the people's sheep, not his own sheep. So Gemara says, Imkein, my Rebusa Demilsa. If it was counting people's sheep, what's the chiddush? Everybody had a sheep. So the fact that it was you know, focusing that he now suddenly started to use sheep to count them, he was trying to teach you something, a din, or some an idea, the idea being that he was using his own sheep, his own wealth, because this klal came into Nismana, Odin Parnes al Tzibor, Misashi, becomes wealthy. So Gemara then says, Vayarev Benachal, that Shaul got into a fight about the Nachal. Nachal's reference to Nachal Esan, reference to Egla Rufa, that which has to do with murder. This gets involved in the whole situation of the, he was ordered to kill Amalek, and Shaul did not do so. So Amar Rabbi Mane al Iske Nachal. On the involvement of the Nachal Esan, Egla Rufa, halachas of Ritzicha, a murder. B'shah Sh'amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Shaul, when Kadosh Baruch Hu told Shaul, Leich v'kises, Amalek, go wipe out Amalek. Amar, he says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Uma nefesh achas amr Torah hava egla rufa. If for killing just one individual, one person, you have to bring the egla rufa, call nefashas halalu achas v'kama v'kama, to kill a whole nation. How many egla rufas? How much kapar would be needed for that? V'im adam chet. Now if a person sinned, so fine, the people of the nation of Amalek, they did something wrong. V'heima machata, you're going to tell me to kill an animal? What did an animal do wrong? V'im gedolim chatu, if the gedolim sinned, k'tan machata, what are the children? They didn't sin, they deserve to die. Yotze baskol, the baskol came out of Amrullah that says to Shaul HaMelech, al tihi tzadik harbe, don't be such a great tzadik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do something, do it. U'bishash Amrullah Shaul Doeg, when he told the Doeg, his general, sov atav fagabah kohanim, go kill the kohanim, Yotze Basko came out into the opposite this time. Amrullah, they say to Shaul, al tirsha harbe, don't be such a Russia. So then the Gemara says, Amr of Huna says, kama lo chaliv lo margish gavra demar desaya, desaya. So how much a person will be spared from illness, from death, from pains, if he relies on a Kadosh Baruch Hu? What does that mean? So we're going to see a distinction between Shaul and David HaMelech. Shaul, who did one sin, Shaul Ba'achas, he did one affair in his life, Valtalo, and he was punished for doing so. But David, Bisham, David, who was Samech on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he violated two sins, and also he wasn't punished for either one of them. So we see a person who he's Samech on Hashem, he has a Munim B'tachon B'Hashem, he's protected from all types of illnesses and punishments. So what are the different situations where both Shaul and David sin? So Gemara goes on to explain each one. So it says by Shaul, Shalbachas Mahi, what was the one sin of Shaul? Mahi said to Agag, he didn't kill Agag, he's supposed to kill Agag, he's part of Amalek, he didn't kill him, and that was his sin. So, and he was punished for doing so. But Vaha Ika Mahi said to Nov Iyar Kwanim, but didn't he wipe out the city of Nov, the city of Kwanim? So that was a second sin. So Gemara said, Amaisa da Agag Ksiva Nichamti Kim Lachti Es Shaul Amalek. Yes, he did other sins as well. But the big sin that caused the Kodesh Baruch Hu to regret ever appointing Shaul Melech, it was the not killing of Agag, even though there's also the Maisa Nov, that was a much smaller matter relative to the Maisa of Agag. So Gemara then says, David B'Shaim, what were the two Averis of David? So it says, Maininu, what are they? Uriah V'dahasata. Uriah was a situation, he was married to Bathsheba, so he had Uriah murdered, he had put him in front of the line, and he had murdered him, killed him, so that Ritzicha was one Avera. And Hasata was when he was convinced he was the Yetahara had coerced him to count Klaizel. He counted them without using any medium, and therefore he was punished for those. These two averes that he were not punished for, but these were the two averes he had done. So asks Gemara, "Vahayika nami ma'isa de Bathsheba?" But wait a second. In addition to killing Uriah, he also ended up marrying Bathsheba, and she was married at the time. So that was a third avera. Hasam ipariyat minayim. He was actually punished for marrying Bathsheba, for taking Bathsheba, so that he was punished for. The other two, Uriah, and the case of the Hasata, of the counting of the Klaisel, that he was never punished for. It says, with regards to Bathsheba, it says, Ves ha-kivsa yishalim arbasayim. The kivsa, referring to a young sheep, that was a simon to Bathsheba. For that matter of Bathsheba, he was punished fourfold. He had to pay fourfold of a punishment for that mice. Yeled, he had a child who died. Amnon was killed. Tamar was raped. Avshalom was killed as well. So these are four children of Bathsheba. They was killed. There were different punishments because of the Maisa. V'hasa nami apiri mine. So too with regards to counting Klai Yisrael. He was also punished. Tichsiva. V'yitin Hashem dever b'Yisrael me'aboker v'ad eis moed. The Kadosh Baruch Hu sent a magefa and thousands of Jews were killed because David counted them. So he was punished for that as well. So Gemara says, Hasam lo ipari magufo. But David himself wasn't punished. Others were punished. The thousands of people were killed in the plague, but he himself was not punished. Gemara says the same thing by the case of Bathsheba. Hasanami lo pari megufe. His children died, but he himself wasn't punished. It's the same exact teretz. So Gemara says, loya pari megufe. He was, in addition to four of his children either being killed or raped, so then he himself was afflicted. In what way? Dama Rav Yehuda Marav, Shisha Chadashim Nitzara. He had Saras for 6 months, David. Uparshe Imanu Sanhedrin had to separate from him for these 6 months. Vinistalke Imanu Shechina, the Shechina also separated. It says, Yashuvali Yerecha, Vyodi Adesecha. So he davened that they should return to me, that Sanhedrin should return to me, and they should come and be in my presence. Duchseva, Hashivili Sison Yeshecha, let Simcha and Tassan return to me. So this is a reference to 6 months of him having Taras, and this is a punishment for the Maisa of Bathsheba. So Vaha Amarav, Kibol David Lashon Hara. Well, there was a fourth Avera. Right, we had two Averas he wasn't punished for. He had the case of the counting, the case of Uriah, those are two he's not punished for. The third one, Bathsheba, he was punished for. But there's a fourth Avera. He accepted his Makabu Lashon Hara. What's the Lashon Hara? So there's a Maisa in the Navi where one of the servants in the house of Yonasan, with the house of Shaul, he had said that Mephibosheth, who was a child of Yonasan, was still alive, but Mephibosheth wanted to take over the kingdom from David. That's what Tzivia, the Eved, reported to David. It wasn't true. But Lashon Hara. So he was Makabo Lashon Hara. V'ha Marav v'kibo David Lashon Hara. He accepted this Lashon Hara. That Mephibosheth wanted to take over the Malchus. So Gemara answers, Kishmuel damer lo kibo David Lashon Hara. Shmuel says, no, he was never Makabo this from Tzivya. He was not Makabo this Lashon Hara. So Gemara says, Ularav nami damer kibo David Lashon Hara. In the world of the Rav, who says that David was Makabo Lashon Hara. So that's another Avera. So ha, it probably means he was punished for this one. Where does he see he was punished? Damar Rav Yehuda Marav, Bishah Shamar Lo David Mephibosheth. When Mephibosheth, when David told Mephibosheth, again, Mephibosheth was a son of Yehonasan. And he was very supportive of David HaMelech. David HaMelech was his father's best friend. He was very supportive. Tzivya had this whole Maisa. He made up that Mephibosheth wants to rebel against you and take it over. So what happened was, when David came to Mephibosheth, he told him, Amar Tiata, I'm going to tell you, Tziva, the Eved, Tachlok was the son that you should divide him. Why? Because Mephibosheth says to him, David, I'm on your side. I'm not here to take over the Malchus. And Mephibosheth really deserved the Yerusha. David was a nice guy. He gave back the estate to Yonasan's family. He's going to give the Mephibosheth. But once Tzivya told him that Mephibosheth is rebelling against you, so he wanted to show a karsa tov to Tzivya. So he ended up dividing the property to Tzivya and to Mephibosheth, divided in half. Even though Tzivya should not have gotten it, it should have all been Mephibosheth, he ended up splitting it, which was not the correct thing, which showed that he was Mekabel, the Lashon Hara, from Tzivya. So the Gemara says, since he divided it, he was punished for doing so. How was he punished? Eventually, there's going to be a time in history where these two kings are going to divide the kingdom, and that was a punishment for David HaMelech. Now, even though he himself didn't experience this, but that was, I guess, somehow considered part of his legacy, that it was a split in his on his account. So then the Gemara says, now back to the topics of Shaul and David. So Ben Shana, Shaul B'malcho. Shaul was 1 year old when he became king. Amir Rav Huna, no, kibben shana shol tam tam chet. He was like a one-year-old, whereby Shaul was such a tzaddik, he never did an aver in his life until he became a king. Maskela Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, veima kibben shana shem luchlach betit uvetoa. Maybe what it means, he's so filthy and dirty involved in averes like a one-year-old. So Gemara says, achvilei, so after Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak suggested this, what happened that evening, he was shown a malach of death. Rashi says in his dream he had a terrible nightmare. Siyuta, around 15 lines up in Rashi, he had this terrible nightmare of angels circling him. So that was the dream he saw. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak realized he had said something wrong about Shaul, that he suggested that he was as dirty and muluchlach b'tidib b'tzoa, like a ben shana. So he had this nightmare. So when he woke up in the morning, Amar nanesi lechem atzmo Shaul ben Kish. So he said, I've spoken way too strongly against the bones of Shaul. He realized he did something wrong. That evening, Hadar Chazit Siyuta Bechama, he saw that same Malachim in his angels, in his dream, more nightmares that very same evening. So he realized again he did something wrong. So now he tweaked his statement. He says, Amar, Nanesi, Lachem, I spoke too strongly of the Atmos Shaul Ben Kish, Melch Yisrael. He gave him the proper cover this time, and then apparently, I guess, the nightmares went away. So Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Bebnei Ma Lo Nimshcha Malchus Beisho. What was the reason why Shaul's kingdom did not endure for a long time? Bebnei Shelo Haya Bo Shim Dofi. Because there is no flaw, there's no averus in the family. Very strange thing, because there are no averas, they didn't last for long. It's a very, very important statement. Rav Weinberger spoke about this a couple years ago, made this a very, very, became a viral shir he gave him, based on this Gemara. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yo Tzadok, Ein Ma'midim Parnas Al HaTzibur, you could only appoint a leader to lead a klal, lead a tzibur, lead a group, Elohim Kain Kupa Shal Shrotzim Tulilo Me'acharv, unless he's holding a bag of shrotzim over his shoulders, shim tazuach daito alav, if he becomes so haughty, omrilo chazer lacharecha, you come from a family of garbage, so don't be so proud of yourself. And everyone was taking this to mean that individual who goes through challenges and goes through averos, he knows how to become better and stronger. That makes him a much greater, powerful, more effective type of leader. One who's never tasted sin, not that we would recommend or encourage a chas v'shalom, but we are human. When a person knows what others go through, they're able to serve as a much better leader. Okay, we'll stop here. Let me quickly recap what we did, a lot we did today, but I'll run through fast. We started off with the discussion of the Truth Edition, the pious and running up the ramp, and the guy broke his foot, and whether or not Truth Edition was a Tchias Laila or was a Tchias Yom, exactly how do you view it? And then the Tekana, not only did they say that there's a pious, but also they said that if you're Zocha to Truth Edition, you're also Zocha to the Seder Maracha and the Seder Shnei Gizri Eitim. And then we described where exactly is the finish line. It's on the bottom, it's on the middle, but rather to the top. Exactly where the top it was, that was a suffix in your papa. Then we discussed the issue to count the Jew. You count by the fingers, you count by the broken charge, you count by the tlum, any means in between, but you can't count them directly. And then we discussed how sometimes we refer to Klai Yisrael that there is a finite number, other times you cannot count them. Depends whether we're doing Ratzon Hashem or not Ratzon Hashem, or maybe between us, we can't count them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can count them. And then we said one who's appointed to be a tzibur, a partner in a tzibur, he will become wealthy. That's what the Gemara says. And then the whole dialogue between Kadosh Baruch and Shaul not wanting to kill everybody, he didn't kill Agag, and therefore he was punished for doing so. But David, he were two averos that he did violate, but he wasn't punished. That was for killing Uriah and for the counting Klai Yisrael. He was not punished for them, but there were other averos that he was punished for. Bathsheba, he had four children, had different calamities happen to them. And then Lashon Hara, he's Mekabel Lashon Hara and got tzaras for doing so. But then Shmuel says he was actually not Mekabel Lashon Hara. And finally, the splitting up of the Malchus, because he trusted in the Lashon Hara of Tiva, he ended up splitting the Malchus later on in life. And the last thing we saw was that Shaul's kingdom did not last because he did not have the Kupa Shel Shratim, while David HaMelech did have the Kupa Shel Shratim, in which case he served as a very effective and long-lasting leader. Okay, we'll stop here, everybody. Have a wonderful day.